And maybe it's a reason to have a little bit of a discussion. I don't know. But and by the way, something I did not add last night. Yesterday afternoon, Ramona and myself buried Abby in the garden that he loved so much in our backyard. So every time he'd run back there, he'd just, he'd take off. He'd front porch, turn your eyes, he was gone, and he was into that garden. Might have been the catnip that had something to do with it. Anyway, look, I got about 2,500 emails, and I'm going to tell you that 98% of them said, "Don't worry, you're going to meet that animal in the next life." And people sent the poem, The Rainbow Bridge, and on and on. It just went on and on. I want to thank you all so much. But the common thread, and it was an incredibly, almost every one of the emails, people thought that their animals, that animals, period, have souls. And that the ones that you had relationships with, if there is a next life, you're going to meet. Now, that's not particularly biblical. We are a Christian nation, right? Pretty much indisputable. We're a Christian nation. That's not in the Bible. The Bible says that only human beings have souls. So therefore, only human beings could go to the other side, if that's what you believe. But that's not what people believe, at least not people who listen here. Because I'm telling you right now, out of 2,500, 2,390, 2,490, had that to say. So what are we to believe? Certainly, it's obvious to me that all of you, or at least a great majority of you, I'm sure some non-pet owners are going, "What's the big deal? Geez, a cat, give me a break." But we form a bond with animals that is as strong as the bond we form with other human beings, and because the love they give is unconditional, maybe in some cases a very different kind of bond. I don't want to say stronger, but just very strong. And so I guess that's what you all believe out there. I know I do. I sure know I do. Listen, late news, there was just an earthquake outside Tokyo, not a giant one, preliminary 4.9 off the northern coast of Japan. Ramona was telling me a 6 point something. I'm not sure. We'll see how this comes out. This one says 4.9. I'm not sure if it's in addition to or this is the one, but it's one of many earthquakes. I mean, we have had them now up and down the West Coast in a manner that's beginning to worry a lot of people I know. Had a lot of us thinking about emergency communications. It's kind of like the Earth is warming up for some event. And I wonder if the rest of you kind of began to feel that last week as they just kept on rocking. We'll look at the world news in a moment. Top of this coming hour, Dr. Doom, one of the most controversial guests we ever have on Coast. He's called Dr. Doom for a very good reason. Very briefly, I don't really like the world news. It's never good. But very briefly, a suicide bomber walked calmly into a popular Baghdad restaurant at lunchtime Sunday and killed at least 23 people. Eating plates of lamb and rice, at least 23 dead. It's every day now, right? In sworn testimony that contrasts with their promises to the public, the FBI managers who crafted the post-9/11 fight against terrorism say that expertise about the Middle East or terrorism was not important in choosing the agents they promoted to top jobs in charge of that kind of thing. Only our government can admit something like that and get away with it. If a large corporation that makes cars or light bulbs or something like that were to promote somebody to the top, the very top of the company, that makes light bulbs, somebody who didn't know a damn thing about light bulbs, do you think that company would admit it? No, they'd get rid of them. But only our government can admit, yes, we have a war on terrorism, but we're not hiring anybody who knows anything about those who are at war with us. The front runner in Iran's presidential runoff sought to rally moderates Sunday by warning that his hardline opponent would run a totalitarian regime, the statement from the campaign manager for Ayatollah Rafsanjani came amid suspicions powerful Revolutionary Guard might just rig the runoff for conservatives. The director of the CIA says that he has an excellent idea where Osama bin Laden might be hiding, but that the U.S. respects, we have so much respect for sovereign nations that it makes it more difficult to capture the Al-Qaeda chief. Now, where do you think that he might be? What nation could be harboring him? Some nation, apparently, for which we have so much respect that we would not go in and get him. What nation would that be? I mean, is he hiding in London, maybe? Or what? Scientists in Britain have shown that stem cells extracted from human embryos can develop in the laboratory into early forms of cells that become eggs or sperm. The research raises the possibility that one day eggs and sperm needed for infertility treatment could be grown, well, in a dish. Preliminary experiments also suggest that scientists may eventually be able to use the technique to create a supply of eggs for cloning. Wonderful. And so I suppose somewhere down the line, in the next few generations, we're going to meet people and we're going to ask, well, where were you born? Well, I was born in a dish. Yes, sirree. Fine Chinese China. I don't know. It's going to be a weird world out there. If you went back in time and you met your teenage parents, that's Ramona laughing, you could not split them up and prevent your birth, even if you wanted to, according to a new quantum model. You see, everything now is quantum. Well, in the quantum world, this old paradox is finally answered. Researchers speculate that time travel can occur within a kind of feedback loop where backwards movement is possible now. That's it, folks. Back in time is possible, but there's a little hitch. Only in a way that is complementary to the present. What does that mean? Well, it means you can't screw with the past in any way that's going to change it in a negative or even in positive or any way at all. In other words, time travel in a quantum world that we all know is very much ahead of us is going to be possible, but not in a way that would alter the past, particularly in some unsatisfactory manner. Well, the red planet Mars is going to attack, folks. It's coming anyway. It is approaching Earth in a way that we will never see again in our lifetimes. Never. By August 27th, in fact, Mars is going to look as large as the full moon to the naked eye. Now, I have a problem with that, but they say it is so. Mars will be easy to spot at the beginning of August. It's going to rise in the east at 10 o'clock at night, reach its azimuth at about 3 in the morning. By the end of August, when the two planets are the very closest, Mars is going to rise at nightfall, reach its highest point in the sky at 12:30 a.m. That's pretty convenient to see something that no human being has ever seen in recorded history. That's how close we're going to be. So mark your calendar at the beginning of August to see Mars grow progressively brighter and brighter throughout the month. Share this with your children and grandchildren. It says no one alive today will ever see this again. I thought that just happened a year or two ago. And weren't they saying the same thing? Maybe that's an old story. The Universal movie White Noise. Oh, I saw that. I saw White Noise recently. It was released in January of 2005 in the UK. It concerns the little-known paranormal occurrence of EVP, or electronic voice phenomena, in which discarnate voices are captured, at least for the purposes of the film, through the medium of white noise, the soft swishing sound that one finds, or could find, before the airwaves filled up. In some cities, you virtually have no white noise, one station after another. In the film, Michael Keaton plays Jonathan Rivers, whose wife Linda suffers a sudden mysterious death. Later, he is contacted by a man who claims to be receiving and recording messages from the dead, including some from Linda herself. Initially skeptical, of course, he eventually becomes an EVP researcher himself, and not all of it, I might add, is positive. In the October 20th edition, 30 October 1920, that's a long time ago, of Scientific American, Thomas Alva Edison, America's most celebrated inventor, whose track record included invention of the light bulb, the electric light bulb, the phonograph, and moving pictures, wrote the following, quote, "If our personality survives, then it is strictly logical and scientific to assume that it retains memory, intellect, and other faculties and knowledge that we acquire on Earth. Therefore, if personality exists after what we call death, it is reasonable to conclude that those who leave this Earth, who would like to communicate with those they have left here, I'm inclined to believe that our personality hereafter will be able to affect matter. If this reasoning be correct, then we can evolve an instrument so delicate as to be affected or moved or manipulated by our personality as it survives in the next life. Such an instrument, when made available, should record something." And of course, when you race ahead to George Meek's fascinating research, then you have to believe that certainly may be true. One more quick thing here. I swear to you this is true. It's from the Arizona Daily Star. And I'm thinking it could put me into a big money-making business. Maybe your rugged SUV never goes anywhere wilder than the mall, but you now can look like a wilderness adventurer with spray-on mud. For owners who don't want it to look like they might just be driving an unnecessarily gas-guzzling SUV, a little splash signals that the vehicle spends time tracking the backcountry. The product is a brainchild of Colin Douse, a businessman from England. He lives in a village close to the Welsh border. Spray on mud is an urban camouflage designed to give the impression that you're a very serious off-roader. Douse, a web designer, came up with the idea about a year ago while sharing a few pints with friends at a local pub. "It's genuine local dirt," said he, "strained to remove stones and any other debris, mixed with water and a secret ingredient that Dow says helps it stick to the vehicle's body." He says, "Don't use it to obscure the license numbers on your license plate," warns. That's a finable offense. Otherwise, he's going worldwide with this. He is selling so much mud now that it says, well, quote, "Some will hold this product up as evidence that there's a bunch of people out there who aren't taking these vehicles off-road and therefore don't really need them," he worries. "But the mud just can't sell fast enough. It's going for $14.50 a quart right now. $14.50 a quart. And actually, the headline is, spray on mud gives SUVs panache. And this tells you, ladies and gentlemen, this and, oh yes, there's a big market for, did you know this? Fake cell phones. Plastic, non-functional, fake toy cell phones. What are they for? There, so that you too can hold a cell phone to your ear as you ride down the street and be seen by others who pass you by, presumably having them thinking, oh my God, successful over there. Look at him talking on a cell phone. So now we have fake mud for the SUV, and we have plastic cell phones to indicate importance. Ain't it a wonderful society we live in? Wild Card Line, you're on the air. Good morning.
How do you follow up a story like that?
I have no idea, sir. How you doing?
This is Matt, the security guard, calling from Tampa. First off, I wish your birthday had been happier.
Thank you.
And but I want to talk about hybrids and black helicopters. I saw my first black helicopter tonight.
Really?
Yes.
Well, I mean, a lot of them are black now. You have to bear that in mind. I mean, black is not unusual for a military helicopter. It blends in so well with the night sky.
Yeah, but it was broad daylight, and it was the weird thing was it wasn't a Huey or a Black Hawk. It was one of the little observation helicopters, one of the old OH-6s.
Huh. Well, maybe they just, maybe it's like spray on mud, sir. Maybe, you know, people who own helicopters, if they wanna really look like they have cojones below the blades, black. I don't know. So anyway, it was a black helicopter, and what else?
Oh, hybrids. I've seen two of them in the past few months.
Hybrids.
Hybrids, human and other species, aliens.
Oh, well, that's bigger than the black helicopter.
Yeah.
How do you know they were hybrids, as opposed to just, you know, odd humans?
Well, I think it's on your website. They showed the pictures of the old skulls, where the back of the head, the occipital area comes out like 4 or 5 inches beyond the neck, and it's almost conical as opposed to being rounded.
Like cone heads.
Almost, yeah.
From the rear.
Yeah.
Yeah. Did you approach any of these hybrids, attempt to converse with them, or say welcome to Earth, or, you know, whatever?
No, I was just observing. But it was, the head was one thing, and then the facial features, they're both, their eyes were a little bit wider set.
Yeah.
They were rounder.
Yeah.
The faces were flatter.
Yes.
It was just rather interesting.
And you didn't manage to work up enough nerve to actually go and approach one of them?
No, I was going to, you know, I mean, how do you approach somebody? Hi, are you human and what else? That'd be just a bit tacky.
Well, I mean, not if they're really as described. I mean, you could do something like, hey, I think I've seen you before. Where are you from? Something like that.
Yeah, and they come back with Alpha Centauri, then.
Yeah. Alpha okay. Centauri. All right, sir. Well, thank you very much, and have a very, very good night. And good next time you see one, see what you can find out. East of the Rockies, you're on the air. Hello.
Hi, Art.
Hi.
This is Wade calling from Louisa, Kentucky.
Yes, sir.
The reason I'm calling tonight was about the earthquakes and stuff. It's all been going on.
Are you beginning to feel something? I mean, when you're getting news of like 2 or 3 a day,
yeah.
It starts to feel weird, like, you know, oh, man, something's coming.
Well, you know, yeah, I am. Probably all the times I've talked to you or George over through the years, this is probably the first call that's actually gave me some trepidation because of what I believe is coming very, very soon, possibly in the next 2 to 3 days, right? I believe we're on the verge of having multiple cataclysms, both natural and man-made, throughout the world.
Well, a good friend of mine who's a ham operator down in Southern California, down in Burbank, California, matter of fact, thinks we're about to have a big earthquake, so much that he has been spending the last week Velcroing his equipment to the desk and to each other. You know, there's Velcro like everywhere.
Yeah, you know, Californians are so used to earthquake, it doesn't bother them, but what's been going on with the last week, they're getting spooked, and it's not just in California, it's been going on throughout the world here in the last, you know, they had a pretty good one up in Alaska this week. And
well, there's one of two things, sir, it's going to turn out to be true. Either these are a warm-up for a really big event, or these are small earthquakes relieving pressure and preventing a big event. It's going to be one of the two.
Yeah, so I'm just throwing it out there into the wind. I believe starting this Wednesday, both natural and man-made cataclysms.
And remember, what happens in Vegas stays in Vegas. First time caller line, you're on the air.
Hello?
Hello?
Hey, Art. This is Brian from Oakland.
Brian from Oakland, yes, sir.
Yeah, I wanted to make a comment about the new podcast.
The podcast. Oh, man, I've been getting email about the podcast. Yes.
Yeah, is there anything that we can do to help?
No, I tell you exactly what's up, man. I bitched myself. I called the network. I said, what the hell's up with this? You can't take the bumper music out of the show. It's like cutting the right arm off. You know, we use bumper music. I do anyway. I use bumper music to sort of accent whatever I'm doing at the time. And here's the deal. If they put the music in the pod thing broadcast, then they have to pay this enormous, outrageous fee that would then have to be passed on to the podcast users. And so instead of doing that, they chop it out, which is rough, but it makes it affordable for podcast users. So that's what they were faced with. You know, either charge them a lot more or take out the music and just give you the meat.
Well, I guess they have to do what they have to do.
Would you want to pay $20 more?
No, $6 is enough.
Well, see, there you go. So yeah. It's outrageous what they're doing, but it's the way the world is.
One other question. Can you be sure to ask Major Ed Baines in the next hour about his RV lottery DVDs?
And I sure will.
If it possibly pertains to the California State Lottery?
I absolutely will, thank you. I sure will. In fact, you know, if enough people had the ability to read the numbers and win the lottery, that would put the lottery out of business. Or would it? Or would these people that have learned the secret method of determining the numbers, few as they are, keep the secret? And therefore keep the ability to hit the lottery every now and then safe? I don't know. I wonder about these kinds of things, and I'm sure you do too. Wildcard Line, you're on the air. Good morning. Hello. Are you there? Going once, going twice, going three times. East of the Rockies, you're on the air. Hello.
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 How are you doing?
Quite well, sir.
My condolences about your cat.
Thank you.
I know it's a hard thing to go through.
Like losing a child.
Oh, yeah. I just lost a little 16-year-old dog that I've had since I was 11 years old, not long ago.
Only pet owners can understand this, and others scoff. But, you know, it is. It's like losing a child. It's point one.
Oh, yeah.
You know, Abby was one of our family. End of story. Anyway, what's up?
Well, I was watching Meet the Press this morning, and I heard something on there that I actually heard from you first. It's about the guy that doctored all the documents for President Bush about the global warming.
Ah, yes.
Yeah. He had a Senator McCain on, and he was asking McCain about it. And McCain, he just basically apologized about it on behalf of, you know, all the, I guess, Republicans, I guess.
Well, once again, sir, only in the government can you do something like that and sort of get away with it. Look, they don't want to hear about this global warming stuff, so we're going to change the report, and we're going to X all this out, and we're just not going to tell the White House because they don't really want to hear it. So here, let's X this out, and we'll eliminate this and redact that, and before you know it, it reads like just a fairy tale, sir.
Yeah, I hate to tell them it's going to happen one way or another, you know?
It's like hiring people to fight the war on terror who don't know a damn thing about the terrorists.
Crazy world.
Only our government can do that. With our taxpayer dollars, I might add.
Yeah. can I have one more quick question?
Yes.
Last night I was listening to the Encore, and what was up with that preacher guy that called in?
Ah, you referred to the one and only J.C.,
Oh, that guy's crazy.
Yes, J.C. has slipped a cog. He did that many years ago, but he is, he's crazy as a loon.
Yeah, well, my grandpa is the same for people like him. If you don't mind me saying, he's nutty as squirrel poop.
Yes, a nutty squirrel. Thank you very much, sir, and have a good morning. Of course, the squirrel poop, that actually makes sense. Squirrel nuts in, nuts out, right? West of the Rockies, you're on the air. Hello.
Hi, Art.
Hi.
This is Cindy from Stockton, California.
Yes, Cindy.
I am so pleased to be able to talk to you. A friend of mine recently, I'd say within the last couple of months, turned me on to both you and George. And George was right when he said the night of your birthday that you are the man.
Oh, that's kind.
You are totally the man.
Thank you, and thank George.
Also, I wanted to give you my sincere and absolute condolences over the loss of your cat.
Yeah, thanks.
I know exactly how that feels. How long did you have this particular cat?
15 years.
I had one 4 years ago that I'd had for 18 years. Yeah, and it was the longest I'd ever had any particular cat. And she and I went through some really heavy stuff together. She was around when my husband passed away and my dad and a lot of my family members. And
is
so,
there any doubt in your mind that that cat had a soul?
Not at all. Not at all. In fact,
no,
I've seen
either.
Her twice since she died.
Well,
in
there
fact,
you are.
I saw her night before last in my hallway.
Yeah, so the number of pet ghost stories are equal to the number of people ghost stories.
Mm-hmm.
And that's even further proof. I mean, I'm telling you, I got well over 2,500 emails, and everybody said it. Now,
yeah, not surprising.
Well, yeah, it is surprising, because really the Bible sort of says that people, human beings,
right,
are the only ones that have souls.
And that
clearly
always bothers me.
Clearly, that's not what people believe at all, including me.
Yeah, I know. And that always bothered me, because it's like, if I'm going to go to heaven and my pets that I loved so much aren't going to be there, to me that wouldn't be heaven.
Well,
but
yes.
I've seen them. I am not kidding you. I saw this cat, like I said, twice, just night before last, and I believe that the cat came back when she did, even though it's been 4 years since she died, because my house is for sale. Well, it's going through escrow right now, which has to do with the number 8, by the way. So thank you very much.
Well, you're welcome, I guess.
But I believe that that's why the cat came back now. When she did, was because I'm going to be leaving. And I have her ashes here in the house. I had her cremated.
Oh. Well, I had an email from, a very intelligent email from a father and son who had a pet. And they were present. They were there when that pet died. And they saw a little wispy white something at the moment of death come from that animal and move straight up and out. Now, it was a well-worded, well-constructed, intelligent email. And so what was that? Huh? What was that? If there's no soul, then what was that? And if there is a soul, then how does that jive with what we're told in the Bible? International line, you're on the air. Good morning. Oh, wait a minute. I'll push the button. Now you're on the air. Hi.
Hi, this is Dina. I'm calling from Mexico.
Oh, really? What part?
Well, northern, just south of the border.
Do you live there, or are you vacationing?
Well, partially. I go back and forth. I have a place up in the States as well as here.
Okay, so you drive through that eternal wait border checkpoint.
Indeed.
Yes.
Yes, I do. And I was just thinking when you were advertising the or mentioning the ad for the dirt, canned dirt, that we really don't need it here. He'd lose money in Mexico.
Well, no, but see, what an export it could be. I was thinking the same thing. We've got dirt with a high clay content here, right? and it would really stick nicely to the side of an SUV. And so I was thinking, boy, what a business opportunity. You know, just, I'm sure, I mean, you can't patent mud, right? So the guy doesn't have a patent on this.
No. We should do it.
That's a good idea.
Let's get together on this and talk about it.
Well, that way you can have, like, Mexican mud. Now, there's a real ballsy SUV. It's got Mexico mud on it.
And it looks it, too, every time I come through. I actually was calling. I was a little surprised that the gentleman who called from Kentucky
yes.
to talk about earthquakes didn't mention this weekend's quake in Paducah.
Oh, yes.
Paducah being not too very far northeast of New Madrid, Missouri.
Yes, where they had one of the biggest earthquakes ever.
Yes, exactly. So I thought, well, I wonder if Major Dames has any comments on that. I'm really, really looking forward to hearing him this evening.
All right, well, coming up shortly, and I can sure hear your pets in the background. Thanks for the call.
Thank you again so much.
You're very welcome, all the way from Mexico. Yeah, Mexico mud, that'd be especially, I don't know what's the right word. I don't know, it would have special panache. First time caller line, you're on the air. Hello.
Good evening, Art.
Yeah, hi.
How you doing? This is Jeff from Grand Rapids, Minnesota.
Yes, sir.
Hey, I wanted to tell you, I think you're the best. I've been listening to you for a long, long time.
Oh, that's very kind of you. Thank you.
I was kind of calling up. You're welcome. Sorry about your cat, too. I was calling about the Osama bin Laden, Porter Goss thing, kind of. I was kind of wondering maybe if that would be Saudi Arabia where he's hiding.
No, because, see, I don't think we'd be afraid to send a special ops team into Saudi Arabia and grab his butt. Maybe it's some country like Britain or I don't know. But if it were up to me, I mean, we're pretty ruthless, and we really want his tail end. So I think we'd go into Saudi Arabia unless he's with the royals.
Right, right. Well, I don't know. I think he's over there tied up in the Middle East, because I don't think he could have got anywhere else. But that's just my personal belief. The English thing is kind of interesting to me. I don't know how he would have got there, but
I hope he's tied up too, with like things of bamboo going up his fingernails. You have a good morning, sir, and thank you very much for the call. Wildcard line, you're on the air. Hello.
Good morning, Mr. Bell. How are you doing?
Fine, sir. Where are you?
I'm calling from Indiana, and this is my, I think, 12th time to talk to you on the air.
Wow.
Yes, sir. I was calling about the article on Mars you had earlier in the evening, how it's supposed to get in our sky as big as the full moon.
Yeah, I don't believe it either.
And didn't we have, like you said, a year ago or so?
I could swear, yeah. There was an article just like it. I think it was Mars going to be as close as it would ever be in our lifetimes. How can that happen twice?
Yeah, it wasn't going to get that close for another 50,000 years or 63,000 years or something like that. Now it's going to be as big as a full moon. Well, I must say they must be using the metric system to fit within 1 year. 50,000 years.
It's more than the metric system, sir. It's I don't know, the kind of calculations they did at some of those companies that went belly up.
Yeah, some kind of weird gazentas or something. Also, I wanted to let you know that years ago we had a German Shepherd die, and we had the animal, the pet, for a number of years, and it was like a member of the family.
Yes.
And you do love them in a different way. It is a different kind of affection you have for them because of just the relationship you have with them and what they bring to the family. It really is a different thing, and it is always a hard deal to lose a very good friend like that. And so I wanted to extend my sympathies toward you and your wife over the loss of your close friend.
Thank you so very much. And that's kind of like what I got. And as I was saying, of all those emails, 98%, 99% all talked about animals' souls and meeting them on the other side. Well, how can that happen? That's not biblically accurate. I'm sure there are people who would say otherwise, but a real, true, literal reading of the Bible, I think, says the not that at all. East of the Rockies, you're on the air. Hi.
Hi, Art. This is Steve from Fayette, Iowa.
Yes, sir.
Yeah, you know that spray on dirt means and brings new meaning to the term pay dirt.
Pay dirt. Yeah, for that guy, it's pay dirt, all right.
Yeah, and I ran into a guy a few years ago who I had seen and hadn't seen him for a while and saw him again, and he was wearing glasses. And he was telling me the new rage where he was from was to wear fake glasses so you appeared to be intelligent.
Yeah, well, now we'll add the guy going down the street with fake glasses, the plastic cell phone, and the bought dirt on the side of his SUV.
And as far as animals having souls,
yes.
The Bible mentions horses. says Jesus is going to come back on a horse.
Yes.
So our church believes, hey, if they're going to have horses, they're going to have everything else. So I'm looking forward to doing a little fishing.
Well, you're certainly right about the biblical reference to the horse, but of course it doesn't say specifically the horse has a soul. It simply indicates he will come back on a horse.
So
you're right, but really, still, this belief is somewhat heretical, but obviously shared by a majority of the population. Now, I wonder if that represents a sea change in what people believe. I mean, out of that many emails, 2,500 emails, to receive that many people who just simply, firmly, without any doubt, believe that is a study in itself. It really is. West of the Rockies, you're on the air. Hi.
Yeah, the Bible says that in the afterlife, the lion will lay down with the lamb, but they'll be vegetarians. They'll eat straw, and little children will play with snakes and not be bit. And it also says in this life, we can ask the animals and the birds to teach us. So the Bible nowhere says that they do not have souls. You will see your animals in the afterlife. That is a biblical view.
Okay, well, I knew that I would have somebody come along and say essentially what you've said, but
that's true.
But well, it may well be, but there are others.
But to show you how people are ignorant about the Bible says there's a new heaven and a new earth, and we don't go directly to heaven. We go to a new earth. Most Christians believe they're going to heaven. That is the wrong choice. You want to go to the new earth for the 1,000-year reign of Jesus.
The new earth.
Right, the new earth, not okay. The new heaven.
All right, the new earth. Well, there are some who don't believe that earth is exactly heaven-like in any regard at all. First-time caller line, you're on the air. Good morning.
Hi, is this Lex?
Is it who?
Is this Art Bell Show?
This is Art Bell.
Oh, okay, hi. I'm a first-time caller.
Yes.
And I was just calling to see how you would respond to a little funny anecdote. Just listening to you for the past 6 months, I came to a conclusion or summarize of, you know, just the overall understanding. And I came up with the question that out of everything going on, do you think that a monkey would want to become a man? And if there's like, you know, like aliens or something that are coming here or something, why would we go to the zoo and try to become an ape or and are we falling that way?
You mean are we headed toward becoming apes? Now there's a disastrous thought. I mean, everybody normally thinks that man came from ape, evolved from ape. Well, not everybody, but the scientists do, that we came from ape. But what if it's going the other way and it's happening too slowly for us to notice, and we're actually all slowly becoming apes?
Well, it's just that I don't think that...
How do you feel about bananas, sir?
They're
Do you lust? Oh, they're good?
They're good.